Yeah, talking about Tecovas. Love Tecovas boots. Some of my favorites here. This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store today, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it out to a store, visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges. And they ship right to your door. Go to Tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Yeah, talking about LiquidIV.com, promo code Nooners at checkout. You see us drinking it on the show every single day. Where would we be, Japes, without Liquid IV in our lives?
Dehydrated. We'd have headaches. We'd be tired, exhausted.
Yep.
Not be able to get through the day, get through work. We'd be sick all the time.
I'd be hungover.
Hangover.
Every single day. Love the Liquid IV. Liquid IV hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, essential vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients with three times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks out there, plus eight vitamins and nutrients in a single stick. It's clear why Liquid IV is the number one powdered hydration brand in America. It's just a little tiny stick full of powder. Pop it in 16 ounces of water. You're good to go. What you reckon, Jabes? Double or triple hydrated?
I would say double.
Whoa, I'd say triple.
What?
Nay. I'll say triple today. Huge fan of Liquid IV. Turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration. With Liquid IV, get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code Nooners at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code Nooners at liquidiv.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Ross Patterson Revolution! Brought to you by BlackRifleCoffee.com.
What are they trying to catch you doing exactly?
They're trying to catch me riding dirty. Trying to catch me riding dirty.
Oh, God. That's not at all what I wanted to hear out of your mouth today.
To be real.
Oh, God.
What did you want to hear? Can you do? Throw it out. Throw out a request.
No. I
taking requests.
I did not want to hear a medley of Jable's hits today. This is what I didn't want to hear.
Cringe-worthy hits.
No. I definitely didn't want
Papa
to hear those.
Papa ooh, mow, mow. Papa ooh. God.
Definitely didn't want to hear any of that. And by the way, the reason why we were starting with that is we watched a Netflix documentary last night, the Gloria Allred doc, Seeing Allred. And
Seeing Allred.
Yeah. Yeah. You nailed it. Boom. Boom. Nailed the title. Boom. She had some of the most cringeworthy songs in that. What was the song that opened up the doc?
Sisters are doing it for themselves.
God. Horrible. Yeah. Horrible choice to start off your own documentary with sisters.
Because it's like feminist.
I'm doing it in heaven. You're just like, it's that feminist tone in movie that you're like, all right, What's the most stereotypical song I could use to start
exactly
a feminist documentary? I know. Sister, it's like
I'm doing it.
Yeah, it's like doing a gay documentary and starting it with "It's a Raining Man,
Hallelujah."
Yeah, and then in my mind, literally, I'm thinking as that song's going on to start off the documentary, thinking to myself, "Man, I'm really surprised she didn't go with Gloria, Gloria."
Right, right.
And then, boom, end of the movie, credit song.
She does not disappoint.
That's the song they went with.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking to myself, man, I think she did this soundtrack on her own. Like, I think she played all of her...
It's her workout mix.
Pilates mix.
Yeah.
Where it's, you know, she was like, oh my God.
It's her power walking mix for sure.
Yeah.
On the beaches of Malibu.
I hated that documentary too, by the way.
Yeah. It started out okay for me because I was like, you know, I don't know a lot about her early life.
No.
And like what brought her to be such a hardcore motherfucking bulldog.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Feminist. So I liked that. But then when it got into just like just her parading out all the women, which is what we know of her now, then I was like, oh, that's right. I don't really like her that much.
No. And oh God, I thought usually in most documentaries, there's some conflict of like something bad happened in your career or something like that. Not that she didn't deal with some conflict in the past, because I didn't know she was raped. I didn't know she had to have an abortion by the rape and all that stuff. But that explains who she was and why she started her journey. And I'm just talking about as a storyteller at this point. But the two biggest things that in her life or that are going on today were glossed over and they didn't talk about them.
Yeah.
Number one being that her daughter is Lisa Bloom, who not only looks identical to her.
It's crazy.
Insane. But they're fighting for the same thing. She's the same type of lawyer. She's trotting out these celebrities.
Exactly.
But the one celebrity they didn't show her trotting out was Harvey Weinstein.
Represented.
So if you're watching this movie at home on Netflix, this documentary that just came out, and by the way, it crushed at Sundance.
I wouldn't bother.
Well, look, if you're reading the reviews, like it crushed at Sundance and standing ovation on the shit. And then you find out why. It's because, well, Sundance is super liberal, obviously. And so is she. And you're like, oh my God, she's great. But I would have thought she would have made at least some statement after 90 minutes of her fighting for women's rights her entire life and career and building a very successful career off of that. Of asking the one question of, hey, you fucking trudged through all this. They made a point to tell you that, you know, she was a single mother raising the daughter on her own, who is now Lisa Bloom. Why did your daughter end up repping the one person who created the entire Me Too movement, which is Harvey Weinstein? I don't get it. Like that's the biggest, that'd be one of the biggest questions to ask.
Oh, that would be a great, if and it was.
There was a tiny answer and they didn't mention Harvey Weinstein at all. But they did show pictures that Gloria Allred herself was fighting for clients against Harvey Weinstein. So I was like, wait, what? You're not going to talk about your fucking daughter representing him as the lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, for the people at home, Lisa Bloom took so much fucking heat for this that she stepped away and, you know, I don't want to say fired Harvey Weinstein as a client, but got rid of him after that, after the backlash. But you don't make any mention of that, which I find odd. The other thing is Gloria Allred was the one who got popped in WikiLeaks for paying off the supposed women Trump's victims,
mm-hmm.
that he groped or grabbed or whatever, $250,000 a piece. They have all these wire transfers to Gloria Allred paying these women money to do so. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're not going to make one mention of that either.
Yeah. It did seem like a one-sided thing. Like if she was running for office, that would be her. That would be her great documentary, because it really was all about all the great things that she's done.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah.
And they didn't get into anything, any scandal that she, you know, was involved in or anything. Even her husband stealing from her and all of this shit. Like, they did not even get into that.
And she says multiple times throughout the documentary, I don't want to talk about this. And
you
it's
can't
just like,
say that in a documentary. Like,
no, you can't. Not for an interesting documentary, at least.
Yeah.
So I don't know. When we watched it, it was just like, fuck. Because it was, again, there was a lot of hype coming out of Sundance for this movie. And I was like, oh, shit. Netflix made a splashy, you know, buy on it. And it was like, oh, fuck. This must be dope. And sure. No, it reminded me of, you know, like an ID channel fucking documentary where you're just like, meh. All right, whatever.
Yeah. It's an example of, I think, someone that actually was doing good in the beginning. And I've said this about Hillary, too. Where in the beginning, they've started like what she started.
Oh, doing good for doing, people.
Yeah, yes, doing good, yes. And heart in the right place, and starting out as like, you know, the protests that she was doing and the rights right. that she was fighting for.
Absolutely.
And the people that she was helping was actually really amazing. And then as time goes on, it sort of turns into this, like when she was suing the Friars Club for not being able to be in.
A woman in the Friars Club, yeah.
Well, to be in the steam room with all the naked men. It's like there's certain lines that like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It ends up being you want money, you want a lawsuit.
Exposure,
all of that. So it really quickly turned to that. But in the beginning, I'm not going to deny that like she actually did a lot for women's rights. And so much so that like now all these people that are trying to fight for their rights, like don't really have to.
Right.
Like, you don't really, you have them.
Well,
you have the rights, girls.
The weird thing is, you know, you're trying to stay relevant at this point.
Yes.
And by her staying relevant, she's fighting for these people or supposed people.
Yes.
That makes her look like shit. And you kind of forget all of her accomplishments in the past.
Yeah. That she actually did break down walls and she actually did like things right. got changed because of her.
But she's what, 75 years old, Gloria
yeah.
Allred? So...
Mm-hmm.
This is the crossroad I come to with a lot of fucking people is at this age, what is there left for you to risk your reputation and in accomplishments on at 75 years old?
Right.
Like why throw yourself out on TMZ every fucking 48 hours right. at 75 years old? I just don't get it.
Yeah.
And do you not have anything else in your life to fill that gap or whatever? And clearly when you watch the documentary, she does not.
She does not.
She's
but
not
she
married.
Actually
she's not dating. She's not doing anything. Like
she likes
I think she
it.
Just likes being Gloria Allred. And that's kind of the deal. But yeah.
She likes it. But and she's very manly in that way.
Yeah.
She likes it. She yeah. likes the power. She likes the money. She likes yeah. the fight. She likes the debate.
That house in Malibu is no joke.
I mean,
whew.
Sisters, I do it.
My soft guess is 14 and a half million at that house. So feminism
you go,
does
oh,
pay.
I couldn't live there. I'd be scared.
I shot in one of those places. So we shot.
You were scared.
We shot a film there. When the water comes up, it goes underneath the house. So you're out.
It could be scary.
You're yeah. out over it. Well, here's the thing. Like, this is super fucked up, but we totally did it anyways. It got to be really late in the morning. Like, it would say 3-4 o'clock in the morning when we were shooting, and there was only one bathroom in this place. You know, the crew was there, and there was a line for the bathroom and all that shit. So it was just like, we're just going on the deck. Because we can piss right into the ocean.
Oh, yeah.
So I literally put my dick and balls over the balcony and was pissing in the ocean underneath me. And it was like, whoa, this is really frightening. And I've been through a couple earthquakes out there. If an earthquake happened.
Right then.
Forget it. Those houses, you're going right in. You're going
Why
right
did the balls
in.
Have to go over too? Is that, yeah, does it make it easier to pee or?
It's a nice rester. You know, like it's like pillows, something to rest it on, you know?
Okay. You can probably get a better downward angle too, right?
Because
otherwise
know.
It's just bending the shaft over the glass. Was it glass?
There's also a part of me that has a ball fear where, you know.
Of leaving them behind?
Yeah. I don't want to do that.
Don't leave those balls behind. If yeah. anything were to happen, you need them. You need the whole thing gone.
I'm afraid they'll get detached at one point. So
yeah.
I bring them with me, and that's just something I enjoy.
Okay.
It's just something I enjoy.
You take them along for the ride.
Yeah, like if I go just like through the zipper, I'm at a game, you know, the urine on them. And
oh, yeah. Do balls come out too?
I do pull the balls
out. No. Yeah, yeah. Is that normal?
I don't know. Everybody, look, everybody's got their own theory.
You don't look around?
Their own technique, if you will.
You don't give a little side eye?
I don't.
See what's going on next to you?
I used to give a side eye of like, all right, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
And then I found that I'm just in too much of a hurry where it's like...
Balls out too.
Yeah, I go balls out too.
Of the zipper, that seems A, uncomfortable, and B, unnecessary.
No, I just, I feel that it's necessary. So, look, it's my package. I'm my own UPS driver, mm-hmm. and you're not going to tell me how to deliver it.
Sure. Sure, I wouldn't dare.
We got a big show. We get a huge show here. We're rapping about the Olympics today.
Blammo.
Versace movie.
Oh, we're going Versace.
Oh, boy. I'm a huge fan of that, and we've got a real big shocker to discuss in that one.
Oh.
I want to get into the SpaceX thing because that was one of the coolest things I saw last week.
Yeah.
Weird. I think it's fucking awesome.
It was awesome.
I think Elon Musk is a goddamn boss. And, right. I want to get into that. Give him the props he deserves. But first up, we got some sponsors who pay for this whole shit to be on the motherfucking air. First and foremost, top of the show. You hear him in the theme song. I'm talking about BlackRifleCoffee.com. Black Rifle Coffee is a premium roast-to-order coffee. That means they make them shits right in the fucking warehouse, and then boom, they get packaged and shipped to you like 2 to 3 days later. That's how fresh that coffee is. They've also got a subscription of the month club, which means it shows up on your door at the same day every single month, and that is a dream.
Come true, sisters.
Doing it for themselves. Big fan of BlackRifleCoffee.com. We get the Just Black and the caffeinated as fucks shipped to our house every month. And they got K-cups and bags, kids. And their apparel is top-notch. Something by the finest in the land. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com. Type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Get in the fucking game, son. Next up, we've got... Oh, boy. I get to drop it down to Morgan Freeman with StraightRazors.com. Oh, sugar. There we are. StraightRazors.com's got the finest shaving products in the biz. Fuck, not only shaving products, they got the finest man kits in the biz. We're talking about the number one ranked aftershave, number one ranked cologne. We've got shampoos, conditioners. Their straight razors take about a day and a half off your shaving. That's how smooth the shave is.
Anal bleach.
Yep, that's a new thing.
Taint wax. They have.
They got mustache wax. They've got beard oils, beard conditioners. You name it. They got everything across the board. Get yourself a fucking dope ass kit. If you got a bro in your life who's got a birthday coming up, if you get them that, they'll be like, ah, shit, man, you really fucking went all out. But truthfully, with the promo code REVOLUTION, you get 20% off. You didn't really go all out. You got a nice, unbelievable option for 20% off.
They don't have to know that, though.
Yeah, they don't have to know. They don't have to know what your fucking habits are. So go to StraightRazors.com, support the show, type in the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off. Last but not least, we got StrikeForceEnergy.com.
Boom, boom, boom.
Man, I always give you your space on that because I don't know how many booms you're going to get.
And I don't either. And I don't know even what, I don't know what kind of attack is going to happen.
Yeah.
Just like any normal attack.
War. Yeah.
It's just like war. You don't know what's coming at you.
Sure. Sure.
And neither do you.
No, I have no idea.
So I appreciate the space.
Yeah. I give it to you. I give it to you. I'm like Elon Musk. I give you your space.
Whoa.
Nailed it.
Whoa. Too early in the show boom, for boom. That kind of genius.
Boom, boom. Strikeforce Energy's got the tastiest, tiniest little tin pouch full of energy you could possibly want inside your drink at all times. They've got four amazing flavors: original, lemon, orange, and make America grape again. They have a fucking 10 pack full of boxes. That's $9.95. Try it with the 20% off using the promo code REVOLUTION. What are you getting that shit for, like $7?
Can't beat it.
Shit, $8 total. It's amazing. They ship everywhere in the entire world, and they get a 750 milliliter bottle that just sits on your bar top or countertop, and you can just boom, boom, pop a couple squirts in. They also have a subscription on the Moth Club, which is nice.
You could be completely set up.
Really nice.
Head to toe.
Yeah, really nice thing.
Nape to nuts.
Go to StrikeForceEnergy.com, use the promo code REVOLUTION for 20% off, and get in on the biz.
Ass over tea kettle.
Yeah, yeah, Javes. You're
soup
really,
to nuts.
Yeah, yeah. We've got these handheld mics we're using today. You got to hold it to your face, though.
I'm loving it.
You got to hold it to your face to get it out there.
What do you mean?
No, don't do it. Don't do it.
But if you are loud, like with singers, if you're going to do a loud, you know, kind of scream, you do have to pull it away.
Sure. Done with all the examples for the remainder of the show. I get the point.
I don't know.
I get what you're
I'll
on.
Show you more later.
Thank God. Thank God. Well, want to talk about the Olympics. I don't know which is bigger. The 17-year-old American who won and... they got him saying fuck afterwards on live on air.
I did see that.
Yeah.
That's what happened, right?
Well, yes. But it shouldn't have happened, and here's why. NBC, for those at home who are watching the Olympics for the next 2 weeks like we are, because we're Olympics junkies, we're an Olympics family.
Absolutely.
We're an Olympics family. We sleep with our head in rings every night. when we're watching it, I was just like, there's usually a 5 second delay. So I looked it up and I was like, well, how do they not catch that? There's a half hour delay. So people are enraged, and I found this out and I wish I didn't know it. And I was like, oh, fuck. I didn't want to know this answer. There is a 30 minute delay that NBC is putting on these. So last night before the guy's name was Red Gerard, which is a sweet name, by the way.
So sweet.
Yeah. Weird for a 17-year-old snowboarder, but
not at all, because you know, his parents, like, you don't grow up snowboarding if your parents aren't fucking also do, like, you know what
no,
I mean?
No. I get it, but, Red Gerard.
It's Redmond. Let's be real.
Yeah, he doesn't look like a Red Gerard. Kind of looks like a Spicoli-ish type of
for sure
dude. But you know, he won at 17, and you interview these athletes afterwards. That's the greatest moment of their life. Like, yes, this kid could go on and win another gold medal. Absolutely. But that's going to be 4 fucking years from now. You're 17 years old and you just won a gold medal that you were not supposed to win. He wasn't even supposed to medal, this kid.
Right.
And just drops the hammer on this run, wins gold. And then they, you know, walk up and jam a microphone in your face. Yeah, the kid's going to be out of his tits saying fuck and whatever. Like,
sure.
But if you're NBC, you're on a half hour delay. So what the fuck do you care anyways? Other people were bitching that NBC on their Twitter account had posted that he had already won 10 minutes ahead of time. So like people were like, yo, what the fuck? I'm not even there yet. I'm glad I wasn't following, because we were watching it, what we thought was live last night. Turns out I was on a half hour delay.
Not the same. It takes some magic away.
That's what I think too. Mm-hmm. And I want to be live and in the moment. I don't know why they're not doing that. They've already lost a boatload of cash on the NFL this year. Like, dude, you're going to turn people off. Like, if I know I can find it on Twitter, I'm a peeker. You a peeker?
Peeker?
Yeah, like, I'll look on my phone and be like, all right, cool. Sean White's on Tuesday night. I'm super interested in watching Sean White. Now I'm going to be looking and be like, oh, did Sean win or do
I? Oh, no, I wouldn't ruin it for yourself.
Sometimes I can't help myself.
You like to spoil things for yourself?
Sometimes I can't help myself, Chase. Sometimes I can't help myself.
Peek ahead to end.
But long story short, there was no reason that they shouldn't, NBC shouldn't have caught him swearing on TV. You had 30 fucking minutes. Then this is the first American who won the first medal for us, and it happened to be gold. Of course, this is a gigantic moment. Bleep it, motherfucker.
Yeah, like, and also just like, he's going to say fuck.
Yeah, 17.
He's a 17-year-old Spicoli.
Snowboarder.
And shit just got real, real for him. Like, yeah, he's going
to
say fuck.
But to be honest, it would have gotten real for me too. Like, because there was another segment of people who looked at that and they were like, oh, why did he have to sully it by swearing? fuck, dude? The kid's 17 years old and he just won a medal. A gold medal at the Olympics, the first one for the country. Like, holy shit.
Calm down.
Yeah. Dude, he was in it. That kid was in it last night. So,
oh yeah.
Don't do that. Don't ask why or what. Like, picture yourself at 17 years old and you just won a gold medal. The first word out of your mouth is probably going to be motherfucker.
Yeah. We've all said fuck in a job interview accidentally. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you get excited. You think you got hired.
Sure. And then you definitely didn't.
Yeah.
And you have to get up and be like, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. And just like back away.
I got pee pee on me.
I'm not talking about anything that might have happened to me, but I'm saying that's a thing that happens to everyone.
Sure.
Right?
Did it happen to you?
We all have those stories.
Did it happen to you?
Yeah.
You said fucking a job interview?
Totally accident. And that was like, I think we talked about it last show where I had to be like,
did you know that you were not getting the job?
Absolutely. You can't do that. You can't do that. And so that was the moment. And again, I was talking about it in the last show, like the moment you grow up, there's a moment of like, you can't curse.
Right.
Then you learn that like with your buddies and alone, you know, you can.
Sure.
Nobody's the boss of you anymore.
Sure.
I'm free, mom. Fuck you.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's that switch, subtle switch when you get a little bit older that you're like, oh, okay, this isn't cool anymore. Like, I see what my mom was saying.
Oh, that's hilarious.
And that's a turning point, I think, again, that everyone has the job interview.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a big turning point for people.
Oh yeah, that's really fucking funny. I have no problem swearing, obviously.
Right.
Let's not shit on that kid.
I'm not.
NBC had a half hour to catch that. They should have. And I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any more about it. Another thing that NBC did have a chance to catch was the figure skater whose teat slipped out. She had a wardrobe malfunction.
Oh, a nip slip.
Yeah, Well, it was a whole tit that came out during a couple's skate sesh and ice skating.
Yeah.
And her little dress just fell apart and her tit came out.
No.
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah. It was she was Asian.
Where was the delay then?
That's the thing. NBC's a half hour behind. Again, why are you not blurring that out?
Like, I don't understand that.
You have time for all of this. I don't know what the fuck they're doing. I don't get it. You know who else is over there that I can't stand is that Les dog. Leslie Jones from Saturday Night Live, the 50-year-old.
Oh boy,
black lady.
Over where?
She's doing commentary for the behind the scenes and interviews for NBC for the Olympic Games. And Jesus Christ,
she's one of those. I forget if we were talking about someone else like that, where you're just like, I don't get it.
No.
And everyone else is like so into it that I feel like I'm crazy. But I'm just I feel like it's like an Illuminati thing where they all got together at NBC and Lorne and was like, we're just going to like
make this happen. And
she's the one.
Yeah.
We're going to get behind her. Every single person is going to say she's the best. She's their favorite.
Yep.
She's amazing. Yeah. Every single cast member in any interview mentions how amazing she is. And it's just like, what the fuck am I missing? She can't even say a line right.
She can't get out.
She can't read.
No, she can't get out one full reading of a cue card correctly, or she doesn't do any characters either. And I was like, all right, maybe that was the first couple of years. I watched SNL last weekend with Natalie Portman as host. And no, she fucked up the opening sketch. Like, she can't do one of these goddamn things correctly. Mm-hmm. She's a terrible actor. And
terrible, frightening
person.
She
came from the stand-up world, which sometimes it crosses over, sometimes it doesn't. And it's one of those things where like literally every celebrity is just like, she's genius.
She's the best.
She's the best. And I'm like,
she's amazing.
What? And it's just because I she's 50 years old and black is what I think it is. Where it's
she's
just like,
had a hard life and she was like in the stand-up world, I guess, comic, but.
Yeah, but there's a lot of comics out there
believe
that
me.
People love. And we've gone down this path off air before, but we'll talk about it on air. I don't give a shit. But like, there's a bunch of comics that are like on Rogan and things like that, where I'm like, what are we seeing? Because I'll try to watch their stand up, and I can't get through it. Tom Segura is one of them. Mm-hmm. Where it's like Chris D'Elia is another one, where they love him.
Chris D'Elia, yeah,
whatever.
Oh yeah, he's funnier off stage than he is on.
And that's
fine.
I'll
say that. But like, yeah, his stand-up drives me crazy.
But people are just like, oh man, so good. And I'm like, what the fuck am we missing? Whereas there's people that I don't like personally, like Aziz Ansari,
mm-hmm.
whose stand-up is great.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, all right, great. And I'm able to separate it all the way around, where mm-hmm. it's just like, all right, the fuck, that guy's good on stage, man. He may be a, you know, weirdo and a fucking shitbag person, but good yeah. stand up.
Sure.
Whereas I
Point
think
of view.
I think Chris D'Elia,
mm-hmm.
Probably a funny dude like around his bros in real life, but it just doesn't
really
translate
good.
To stage.
Yeah,
to me.
He's really good at hazing. Like he's good at just fucking with, like, let's say Brian Callen. Like him fucking with Brian Callen is hilarious.
Gotcha.
But I feel like anyone fucking with Brian Callen, like even that's how Brandon even got any like idea that he could be funny.
Oh, on Fighter and the Kid?
Yeah, is messing with Brian Callen and making fun of him, because Brian will like get, he's like giver. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he'll lob something up for you. If he sees that he's doing something, he'll like keep going with
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
he's like perfect for those kind of
the
people.
The funny thing is in real life, Brian Callen would absolutely destroy these people.
And that's like
and
the
it,
magic.
And it's not even close.
I know.
Brian Callen to me is one of the funniest people in real life, where you're just like, holy shit.
Real life and stand up.
Yeah, I've only seen him do stand up once, I think. But he was, I enjoyed the show. I thought it was fucking awesome.
It's
and I texted him literally right afterwards and I was like, yo, you killed.
Yeah.
It was fucking awesome. In real life, he's genuinely like,
holy shit,
fucking hilarious all day long. And he could kill those people.
Yeah.
But he goes along with it.
He goes along
right.
with it.
A,
yep.
a giver is a great term, where it's yeah. like he will give them material to keep going and extend these rants.
Yeah.
Jared's good at that on Drinking Bros as well.
Yes.
Like, fuck, we have a blast it's fun.
But you're a destroyer.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Like you will
I crush
just
people's
destroy
dreams
someone
and souls,
like,
and
yeah,
I will not let up.
No, you will not like give,
and I don't give a fuck
you
whose
won't
show
lob
it is.
Anyone up like a joke, like you're taking everyone for yourself and killing people.
That is not true.
That is absolutely true.
That is not true.
You are a destroyer. You say it all the time. I destroy
it's true.
Like improvisational
right.
wise, like I destroyed him. I'm like, I don't know if that's
probably.
How improv works.
Probably. It is. It is.
Are you supposed to go back and forth?
Best man wins. Best man
okay.
wins. Either you can keep up or you can't. And
okay.
You see it go real quick with a lot of people. Light goes out.
Oh, I've seen it.
Light goes out
I've
pretty
seen
quickly.
It.
A lot of people.
It. Or they just like try and come up with something and it just turns
no,
into like babbling.
No, it's terrible.
Mess. And you know, is it nice? Of you? No. Is it fun to watch? It's uncomfortable for sure.
The destroyer.
But yeah.
Oh,
there are
so
a couple
effective.
Different kind
God,
of
God, you're right. You're
performers.
Look, you're right. I'll go back on my, you're right. I am a destroyer.
Yeah.
Callen's a giver. Yeah. Yeah. I can't me
Brendan's
personally.
Brendan's a taker.
Yeah. I can't sit in a conversation for that long if it's not going well. I'm like, all right, it's time to put it in the ground.
Oh my God.
It's time to Uma Thurman this and Kill Bill. Let's just put it, let's put some dirt on them. We'll leave them still alive. If they can dig their way out of there with their fucking middle finger strike, then great.
Yeah.
If not,
yep.
Congratulations, you're dead. You were dead to me.
Sure.
Speaking of dead to me,
uh-huh.
I want to talk about this Versace show.
Ah, yes.
Boy.
Ugh.
How fucking
Donatella.
Good is that goddamn thing?
Donatella.
Yeah, Donatella. Do it.
Well, Penelope.
Yeah.
Donatella Versace.
Yeah, Penelope Cruz.
Penelope.
Penelope Cruz
perfect.
Is...
perfect.
All of them. the Darren Criss kid who's playing
creepy as fuck.
Cunanan, who's playing Andrew Cunanan, is fantastic. Jesus Christ. Ugh. You can go ahead and give that guy the Emmy right now and just call it a day. And then the guy who's playing Versace is great. I saw him without all the makeup and shit on.
Totally different.
It's like a young dude. Younger dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, whoa.
I think I remember that guy's great.
The casting in that is superb across the board.
But they did, isn't that the OJ people?
Same, yes.
So they kill it.
Well, it's Ryan Murphy.
Talk about casting geniuses.
You want to talk about a fucking genius in real life. Ryan Murphy is just grinding out hits. He does that American Horror Story shit too. He did Glee. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's done a million fucking things. He did back in the day, Nip Tuck.
Yeah, he's done random stuff that you're like, what? And Glee?
Yeah.
So it's like all over the place. Yeah.
Nip Tuck to Glee.
Because he's that fucking genius.
I guess, man. Because I was a big fan of Nip Tuck before it went way
Me
off the rails.
Too.
I don't know what happened to that lead guy in Nip Tuck, by the way.
I know.
He was awesome.
I know, right?
I don't know what happened to him. But anyways, this Versace movie or miniseries, I guess it's technically called, because they're doing it like OJ. It's so goddamn good. But it also never makes me want to be around any form of tape anymore. Scotch tape, duct tape.
Yeah.
One of the things is this asphyxiation where he's duct taping people's faces up. Here was the bombshell really that I wanted to drop for anybody who's a fan of the movie I did called FDR American Badass. The guy who plays Eisenhower in my movie FDR American Badass is the first victim who gets wrapped up with the duct tape around his face.
Yeah, like, he doesn't kill him.
Doesn't kill him, but like
that guy
in real life. This guy, tough as nails. Military dude, and he's the last person I expected to see with his face getting duct taped up by Darren Criss.
Really hard to watch.
Hard to watch because I know him, but
that's the thing.
There's the level of shock where I was just like, "Fuck! All right, cool. If you're, you know, trying to be a real actor, like you're definitely not, you know, you're not limiting yourself from any roles because." He went from playing Eisenhower to duct taped male sexual gay victim.
That's what makes me uncomfortable is because I can't really like separate sometimes. Because, you know, if you make movies and you're an actor, it's like hard for you to like totally immerse yourself. Right.
Yes.
There's always part of your brain that's going. So the other old guy victim, I'm just like, fuck, like it makes me uncomfortable because these guys had such hopes. You know, I don't know what kind of actor they were or whatever.
Yeah.
Now they're like doing this and it's like such a great project to be a part of.
Yeah.
But like, that makes me uncomfortable.
But I look at it from the point of an actor standpoint of like, look, you get offered that gig. If you audition for it, you take it. There's no way you don't take it.
For sure. Yes.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying weird. It's
weird to call your parents and be like, hey, yeah, I'm on America.
Yes. That crime. Like I think about that.
I'm in this awesome Versace thing. Oh, awesome.
And an older man. That's the thing. It's like everyone else.
He's
in there.
Probably 60 years old in real life. The guy Eisenhower, forgive me. I don't remember his name, but, he was so nice too that like when we finished FDR, he asked for all of the cast and crew's addresses and he was going to send them I think he sent a personally handwritten card thanking them for being
he's
the greatest. And he was the nicest guy ever. And then I hadn't seen him in anything afterwards. And then next thing I know, he's getting his face duct taped up in a gay bondage scene.
God, it was so disturbing.
Story. I know. But look, he was good. I will say that. It was effective. He was a good.
Oh, and who? Judith? What?
Judith Light.
Ugh. You are all about Judith Light.
Can we get into Judith Light? I think for one and done guest star, she'll probably win. She was fantastic. If you don't know who Judith Light is, she is most famous for being the mom on Who's the Boss.
Family Ties too, right?
No, different person.
Oh yes, you're right.
She was
the
mom on Who's the Boss, and
that's right.
Blondes,
something else.
And she looks great, and she was fucking fantastic in in that show where I was just like, oh yeah. shit.
Yeah.
And I looked it up afterwards, like that segment of the story, and that it was all true and it was all in there.
What do you mean? The segment of like all of that stuff happening?
Or? Yeah. Cause okay. I sometimes you look at this and you're like, all right, how much of this is real? How much of this isn't? And, that was real.
I think they're going off of, you know, real documentation that they have or whatever little pieces that are.
They do say at the end of the show, there's a small disclaimer of we're guessing at the conversations that were had during these situations, but when are you not? You know what I'm saying?
Like, but it's like you gave.
The family completely denounced, the Versace family completely denounced the show. And that's important to say. Donatello was just like.
Didn't like it.
No. Doesn't like it.
You can see why, though, if you watch it.
You can, but it's tough. Like, it's a tough one. You're that famous. Yeah. At, you know, Versace was fucking famous as shit. You're that famous. Somebody's going to eventually do something on you. Like,
right.
And you're not going to have any control over it. And when they do try to give the family some control over things like that, they usually sugarcoat it. And it's it never turns out to what you want it to be. So that's you know, that's why they don't give these families a lot of rights on things, because they'll end up fucking it up and like diluting it.
Absolutely.
Because right now this thing is fucking dope as shit. We're amazing. Probably halfway through. I think I want to say it's maybe 10 episodes, 8 or 10 episodes.
Oh, nice.
So we're halfway through. And it's Jesus. You can give them all of the awards again.
Ricky.
Ricky Martin.
Ricky.
Yeah.
He's good.
He's fine. They don't give him a lot of lines, you know?
He's fine, but he's good.
Yeah, he was good at getting buck naked and fucking that dude in the butt in that one scene, but, you know?
Well, he had emotional scenes.
I guess. Yeah, a little bit. Ricky's fine.
Ricky.
Very small part.
Sure. Okay, fine.
Now, if he comes back at the end and does some crazy shit, then we'll see. But right so far, halfway through, small part.
Okay.
Small part on that guy. By the way, I'm talking about the role itself, not his unit.
Right. We don't see that.
You don't. It got real close, though.
Really close. I think we did, kind of.
And you know that he had to pull, you know, that donger had to be out during the shooting of that, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Donatella.
Well, the first thing I thought when I saw Ricky Martin go in to butt fuck that dude in the Versace movie was this guy was Shake Your Bon Bon. Like he was with a bunch of hot girls doing that. And then now it's cut to 15 years later. It's a hardcore gay love scene.
He did a seamless transition.
Into gay?
Mm-hmm.
I want to say for him, right place, right time. Because if it would have happened, I think maybe 4 or 5 years before that, because everybody knew he was gay. We all fucking knew it.
Right.
I think if he would have gotten outed 4 or 5 years before that, when all of his music and all of that shit was massive, it would have fucked with his career. Hmm. Especially because the things that he was singing about and doing in the videos, like, and I don't know if you remember that interview where they came out and asked him if he was gay, and he didn't say. He just said, "I don't think that's important for what I do," and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was Diane Sawyer. It was somebody huge like that at the time, who was just like, "Yeah, but don't you want to address the rumors? Because there's so many rumors." And he was like, "I don't feel that I have to." And you were like, "Oh boy."
I love that though.
Yeah, but. He had plenty of opportunities early on to come out and say that he's gay.
Well, okay. I won't say seamless. I think
his career. No, but
no, he
but
did
I think,
it in the right way, because privately he had like a partner, kids.
Yeah. The whole
his
shit.
Kids are like 10 years old.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
He was doing it all except for being like, my persona is going to be different.
But there was a time where everybody was kind of coming out.
And he said, no.
No, but he hit that stride in the middle of that, where that's when he decided to come out. And at that point, a bunch of people had already come out, like Neil Patrick Harris and some other, and you were just like, yeah, all right, cool. Like everybody else has come out at this point. I think all of us already knew that Ricky Martin was gay anyway. So it was just like, yeah, there was some disappointed women, but that's about it.
Right.
The rest of us were like, we figured.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
We
yeah.
figured.
Yes. Yeah.
yeah, I
I think that's the way to do it, maybe.
What's that?
It seems seamless when you kind of let people guess about it for a really long time until they get over it on their own. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To where it's kind of like, we feel like we know he's not saying, but for a like long period of time.
Right.
And then when it finally comes out, you're like, oh, I feel like you already did come out.
Yeah, didn't you?
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Yeah. So I think
string him along a little bit.
That's why it worked out well for him.
Hmm.
And he's got that residency in Vegas right now, too. Ricky Martin's on fire.
He really is.
He's in fuego, as they call it in his country.
Bailamos.
That's not Ricky Martin.
What's that?
That's Enrique Iglesias, I think.
Bailamos?
Right? I think, right?
Bailamos.
I don't know.
Let the rhythm take your shoulders on us more.
Yeah.
Bailamos. Yeah. Come on.
I think it's Enrique. The one who's married to Anna Kournikova, who's still the hottest athlete of all time.
Oh,
hottest athlete of all time.
Yeah, you're probably right.
That guy kind of disappeared, though.
He did. I think because he got that mole removed.
No. Did he really?
Ended his career.
Could you imagine if he did?
It did. It looked weird. He got it removed, I think, and it was like strange.
Yeah. Maybe. You know what else is strange? Is Sammy Sosa.
What?
Sammy Sosa, he's been bleaching his skin for years, the baseball player. But he got engaged this weekend. And he put out this engagement photo, and I want to show it to you real quick.
God damn it, you're right.
Yeah, I know I am right.
Shut up, bitch.
The one thing you can finally Google.
Oh.
So Sammy Sosa's engagement photo, if you haven't seen it, that dropped this weekend, is... how would you describe this? This seems like a white
that
cowboy.
It's not white cowboy. It's like full-on ranchero Mexican.
Okay.
Like the real cowboy.
Yeah. And I want to give a shout out to, because it says here, copyright Roger Ramirez at the bottom. Roger Ramirez, the reason I'm giving you a shout out, I want to thank you for not only taking this glorious photo of Sammy Sosa in a little tiny red cowboy hat and his wife. But I also really, really want to thank you for giving us this gift into the world, because this is a how-to of to announce your engagement.
So it's like, you guys, it's the big buckle, the shiny big buckle, like full-on cowboy boot Mexican.
Yeah. Yeah. The
ranchero that goes to like the Scorpion Club like... El Cabito or whatever.
Here's the El Caballero.
I don't know. You know what I'm trying to set the scene.
Cowboy. Yeah, no, we know what the scene is. The shocker, though, is how much he's bleached his skin. And, you know, he looks like a...
Because is she white?
I don't know. I don't know what she is. She appears to be, you know, Latino of some descent.
Right, but lighter than him even.
I know.
She could be a tan white girl.
Are both of them
trying to be something they're not?
I can't tell.
Maybe.
I can't tell, but Sammy is that's a white man. That is a full on white male. That is not a black man whatsoever anymore. And
he was black?
You're kidding, right? He was.
He looks Mexican.
He was really, really dark. He's Dominican. But his skin tone was really black.
Right.
He's bleached it really white. I mean, I'm talking Michael Jackson white. So if you haven't seen MLB superstar Sammy Sosa, look it up. Just a before and after of who he was when he was playing and now. It's black and white. I hate to put everything in black and white.
But sometimes
it's black and white. Sammy was super dark. Now he's super white, and it is super creepy all the way around.
Yeah, those features look strange on lighter.
Yeah. So it's a hard one to reconcile. Mm. Well, needless to say, when that picture came out this weekend, there was a meltdown on the internet of what. There's so many questions where you're like,
I mean, live your life. I'm going to let them live for sure.
I guess,
but
when you're putting on that cowboy outfit and you're getting ready to take those photos, At no point do you ask yourself, like, what is other people going to think of this? What are they going to think when I put on my cowboy outfit and get ready to take a picture for my wedding?
He clearly did not. He does not care about that. He
doesn't give a fuck.
Do we respect it?
No, we don't. We definitely don't.
We don't.
And Sammy's probably sitting on.
He really doesn't care.
Sammy's probably sitting on $200 million
as a joke engagement. That would be hilarious. Exactly.
Now, if Sammy Sosa came out next week and said, "Hey guys, I was just joking," and we thought this would be hilarious, brilliant,
genius.
If, however, he does not, that is the worst decision in life besides bleaching your skin like that.
Oh boy, calm down.
It is.
Calm down.
Because you can't go back to your original color anymore. Once you bleach your skin, for sure.
But you can take off the cowboy hat.
You can, but what's underneath that cowboy hat?
Ooh.
What kind of person's underneath that cowboy hat?
He gets it fused. Like fucking plugs. Fused cowboy hat scalp. Does not come off. Shower. Bed.
Yeah. He's a full ranchero. He's a real life ranchero, that guy. I always found that segment of the culture weird, the ranchero Mexican, the hardcore Mexican cowboys.
Yeah.
I shot this thing down in El Paso, Texas, and we used it for, it was for a night she cries while he rides a steer. We went to some of those ranchero outfitters like that, you know, that have that gear and all that shit, and like,
oh yeah,
man, they take it super seriously, and that shit's expensive, man.
Oh yeah,
fuck. And yeah, it's hot. And it doesn't have a lot of give to it. So like it's the pants are very scratchy and hard.
Mm-hmm. There's not a stretch.
They rub starch. Your nipples wrong. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is
lots
awful.
Of crisp lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. That's their.
You figure as a cowboy, you want to be comfortable, like have some level of comfort.
Right.
But there is no comfort in give.
There's a couple of different kinds. Yeah, there's a couple of different kinds of cowboys. As you know. There are those that, you know, it's flannel, comfortable.
Comfort. Yeah.
Old pants that are like worn
jeans,
in.
Yeah. Yeah. With a nice Copenhagen ring.
Yeah, boots that are like super comfortable.
Yep.
Functional. And then there's these caballeros or whatever the hell you call.
You've been calling them rancheros the entire show. What if
Huevos
that's not the
rancheros?
Term?
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, I don't think that's the term at all. I just like that's just
Are
what.
You serious?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I think it's just cowboys.
No, there's a term for it. I don't know what it is.
I think there definitely is, but I think it's just
the
first.
You've been calling them rancheros all day.
Yeah, yeah, but it's the first thing that comes into my mind, and it's the first thing that comes into my mind. We've got a lot of them around in California. You know, and it's so specific.
Rancheros. Oh, man. There's no way that's the real term.
Isn't that where Huevos Rancheros comes from? That's the
cowboys?
It's the cowboy breakfast.
Cowboy eggs.
Yeah. Egg cowboys.
No, I don't know. I don't. But the fact that I've adopted that as my own now throughout the show of
just thinking that I know what I'm talking about. A, that's your first mistake.
And B...
That's your second mistake also. You keep making that mistake. but you went with it because it made sense to you. It made sense to you because it's like, I don't know why, but that's what you think of when you look at them.
It's ingrained into the fabric.
Ranchero.
Of the culture. You're right. And to any rancheros out there, if I've offended
sorry.
You. Yeah, because we have We're a big, sorry. Big segment of our listeners who are rancheros.
Oh, yes. In Laredo, Texas. Yeah. Yeah.
We're all over Laredo.
We're huge.
Splashed all over Laredo.
I mean, they love us.
Yeah.
Huge in Laredo, yeah.
I meant to tell you something hilarious. There was a guy for this radio station in Boston. I think it was WEEI. He got suspended for making the same Asian noises that you were making the other day.
No, no.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The exact same
you
thing.
You made them too.
I did.
Yeah,
I did.
Okay.
We
okay.
both would have been, okay. just to let you know, we both would have been suspended
okay, cool.
from Boston's airwaves.
Look, that would have happened a long time ago.
Would it?
Yeah. yes.
Yep.
Yes, this show is definitely, I don't know how it would do on the air, on the actual air.
SiriusXM. It's a SiriusXM show. It is not
we
a...
We can say the things that we say.
Yeah, on SiriusXM.
I could do the Asian voice.
Look, there was a show, because I have SiriusXM in my car. There's a show, this guy called Rude Jude, who's got a show in the afternoons on, I think it's either Shady 45 or one of the hip hop channels. And fuck, this guy gets disgusting. So
goes
I was like,
off.
Oh,
all right,
cool. Like, I mean, okay. he's super fucking gross. So we're good to go on
okay.
that. But
I mean, I'm down.
The racial nomenclatures of,
sure.
Of the Asian community. Like, yeah, people were outraged and I was like, oh boy, if you're outraged by that, good luck listening to this fucking show.
Right. Oh, Russ.
Yeah, good fucking luck.
Russ.
Listening to this show. I want to dive into the SpaceX, by the way.
Do it. Deep dive.
Oh, God damn it, man.
You were juiced off.
Juiced the fuck off about that.
I mean, it was...
I don't,
it was a lot for you.
It brought back... The only thing that it brought back for me was the fucking memories as a kid of, like... how exciting and awesome space exploration is. And I was like, fuck, man. We used to be excited about this shit. This was the one moment that I think everybody got excited for again. And it's amazing to see what, like, humans can do.
Yeah. The blast off, like, that part is, like...
The blast
iconic.
Off, like,
I love it. It.
You know, it's look for those
every
of you
time.
Who don't know, it's Elon Musk. He sent what was it, the biggest rocket ever into space,
mm-hmm.
and he did it privately funded, had nothing to do with NASA or the government or anything else. A few years ago, Obama wrote out all of the funding for space exploration, so there was no need for it anymore, and got rid of it. Which is fine. Like I don't want to say back then because like when he signed that thing, it was years ago. We kind of really weren't doing anything space wise.
Yeah.
It has become,
they kept going to Mars or something.
Yeah. Like in the last 2 years though, I think everybody's starting to realize, especially with, you know, the way they're able to identify other planets and all of this shit that, hey man, this is really the next frontier that we need to conquer. Trump signed it back in, so we're gonna have some more funding soon. But he did say of SpaceX, of like he was rooting for it, and he's just like, this is what companies we need, more innovative companies like this that are trying exciting, cool shit like this to come about. Because not only does it create more jobs, but it gives us a glimpse into our future and what is possible. And when I saw this with Elon Musk and the SpaceX thing, I was like, holy fucking shit. I mean, they launched, because typically, you know, you would either have somebody on board, or when you're testing these rockets, you put like a block of concrete on the end of them or something trivial, because you're just sending it into space. You don't know what's going to happen. It's going to fucking blow up or not come back. So he was like, all right, instead of putting like a block of concrete on there, like a dummy, let's just put a fucking brand new Tesla up there, because I invented Tesla.
My God.
And that thing, not only did it launch into space, but there was a camera on it, and you got to see, because it's going to Mars, but you got to see this Tesla passing around the globe in real time, and it was fucking incredible. I mean,
a great
just
commercial.
Incredible. Not only a great commercial, but the other thing that was incredible about it was the rockets landed back down in reverse to where they took off. What are you laughing about?
I thought the guy was real.
You did not. You thought the guy inside the Tesla was
real? I didn't, but like, remember
real?
The questions that I was asking you?
Oh, James. Come
but
on.
But I go, oh, so like they just shooting the guy up there, and I go, what's the guy going to do? And you're like, oh, it's not. You like brushed over it and you were like, oh, it's not real, it's a dummy.
I thought you were kidding about that. You were serious that you thought there was a spaceman inside the Tesla?
I didn't understand. No, listen, I didn't understand exactly what it was when you were telling me. So I thought it was like inside something or whatever, but like,
no.
But I was just like, wait, what? I'm like, why
is the driving by the moon with his arm out the window? Because even the way they seated, because they put a guy in an astronaut, they put a dummy in an astronaut costume and put it in the driver's seat. But he's got his arm like chilled out the window and he's driving like this. And it was great. It was really fucking funny. No one thought
a couple other people had to have like, while someone's explaining this crazy thing to you, because I didn't see it, you were explaining it to me.
I'm so happy that you didn't, I didn't know this then. I would have just rained down on you endless fury for you thinking that was a real fucking astronaut riding a Tesla.
I didn't, but like I was asking those questions to you.
Oh boy. Yeah, I didn't think you were serious. Now that I know live on air, leaving this in.
What's the guy going to do? I said.
I thought you were kidding.
Oh, I'm like, he can't come back down.
I thought you were
like,
kidding.
It's a dummy. It's a dummy. And you just like keep going with it.
Yeah, because I thought you were joking. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah, he's still there, James.
Just sitting there,
yep.
Being like, hey guys, this
just
is cool.
Some Neapolitan astronaut ice cream.
I can't get back down.
Oh boy. Yeah.
It's not like you can drive back into Earth.
No, you can't. You definitely cannot. That car's not coming back. Neither is that man.
And what about the guy?
No.
That's what I said.
He is not scheduled to return anytime soon.
Oh, that poor man. Like George Clooney.
Yeah. Right? In that movie?
Yeah. Where he was without any...
God. Was it Sandra Bullock?
Yeah, Gravity, but yeah. He wasn't in a spaceship. He was just like
floating
out in the open.
Yep.
I thought, wow, they finally figured how to do that.
Crazy. That is the craziest statement you've ever made in your entire life. And I can't believe
it. It's like
it.
I didn't really think, you know, it's like I didn't think it. My mind didn't think it, but my heart was asking those questions, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, 100% it makes sense. I mean, it's so fucked that I can't even wrap my mind around it. But, and the reason being is like when you see the picture, whoever was watching it, in no way do you think that's a real man.
If you see it for just 1 second and someone's explaining to you what's happening
briefly, yes.
For the
if
first time
by,
and you're like, wait, so the car was on the fucking rocket and then the guy's up in the you're just like, what?
I can't even entertain that right now. I can't. I'm proud of you for admitting.
For admitting? What about the guy? What about the guy? What's he going to do? Wow.
He's not coming back.
Can't get back down again, poor thing. But
boy, anyways, it was the most amazing shit that I've seen in a long time. And like I think I was trying to think back the last time I had seen watched a liftoff, and you know, it was in person. It was out of Cape Canaveral. My parents live relatively close to there, so like I think that was the last time. And then before that, shit, I think Challenger, like when the Challenger exploded, I mean, it went, you know, I remember we were at school and they put it on, and I think that was the last time. But I remember the build up to Challenger going into space, because they were going to go on the moon and Christy McAuliffe, the teacher, was going to, you know, give a lesson from the moon. And I remember the build up to it. And how excited I was as a kid. And this kind of at least brought that back for a little bit, where I was like, man, space is awesome. And it's cool what man can accomplish if you have the right tools and all that shit. There's also a really, really good, I don't know, somebody put this together. This wasn't like a professional thing. But it was a video floating around Facebook, and it was tagged at the bottom, like entrepreneur. And I don't know if that's the site of the company or whoever put this together, of Elon Musk, making the Tesla and making the SpaceX and all of the shit that he went through to do it. And it was fucking wrenching. He lost his mind, had a nervous breakdown. He was crying. Like they found him in a room crying. Yeah.
Or was this like the beginning of all of it?
Over the years. Yeah. Like, you know, he had to get funding for all this shit on his own. And like everybody, all of these people over and over and over just kept telling him what a failure all of these companies were going to be. Tesla, SpaceX, all of that shit. And like, you know, it was a lot of famous people that said it, and including like Neil Armstrong. And dude, Jim Cramer was just like, this, you're not going to start a car company.
I remember when Tesla was like, oh yeah, they're losing money. It's almost like people were against it without really knowing what was
everybody
happening.
Yeah, a lot of people were. The weird thing is we lived in LA, and I get to see one of those Teslas, one of those first ones. And so when I heard that chatter of like, this company is going to be shitty or whatever, I was like, I had already seen the cars, and I was like, yo, these cars are fucking dope as shit. I was like,
up close, they for real look so amazing.
They're incredible. Inside of them, they're incredible.
Yeah.
And they really are the future. The problem is when you invent things like this, that are this ambitious, a car, a fucking space travel, all of that shit, it's not an overnight thing. And it, you know, to make cars come off the line, there's a reason why there's only so many car makers, and there's hardly any new cars to the market that are from, you know, not outside of Ford or Jeep or, you know, Mitsubishi or BMW or all that shit. Even then, some of them don't last.
Yeah.
You know, models leave and then they come back, and it's incredibly difficult. It takes a shit ton of money,
mm-hmm,
and like a creativity that's above and beyond anybody else. Like to come up with Tesla, to come up with SpaceX after that, like, fuck, man. Whatever you want to say about Elon Musk, like, that guy's an all-time genius, and there is no denying how brilliant he is. But watching his story on this, it was like a 12-minute thing. Because they've shot video of him crying in this press conference when they told him he was going bankrupt. And he was just like, and he lost all this money, not only his own, but like investors and everything else. And it was just like, it was heartbreaking. And then him talking about SpaceX, there was a clip of him talking about SpaceX. And I want to say it was 60 minutes he was on. I'm almost positive. And they were talking about, you know, and this guy kept bringing up like how all of his heroes said that, you know, space travel on privatized and on your own was stupid, and you shouldn't fucking do it. It's a waste of time and waste of money, and you're never going to do it correctly because you don't know anything about space and everything else. And like, he started getting emotional during that. I mean, he was tearing up in that, and he was just like, look, man, it's hard when all your favorite heroes just say that what you're doing is bullshit and you're going to be a failure. And I was watching this piece, it was wrenching, and like, fuck, afterwards, I thought I'd bring it up on the show today, because I was just like, man, that guy is incredible. And any form of genius or anything in this world, where you're inventing something new, one, people aren't going to believe in you. The only person who's pretty much going to believe in is yourself. And then you've got to push a boulder uphill constantly until you have one massive success to get everybody to believe in you. And that takes years and years and years and years and years. And like to do it on like, you know, I don't know, like a hit movie. What we were talking about earlier, like to get a movie out there or a book or something else, you'd have a better shot at that. Creating a car company for the masses on one guy on your own, like, fuck, that's impossible. Creating a space exploration company on your own so you can get people into space and space travel, like, that is a massive undertaking that it's years and years and years to perfect. So like, it's not an overnight thing. Whereas like, you know, you take Get Out, for example, this year, like the movie Get Out, like it crushed and dominated and made $300 million worldwide. It only cost $5 million to make. Everybody's kissing his ass, Jordan Peele, who is now nominated for Best Director, Writer, like three awards he's up for.
Okay.
Oh, and Best Movie. The first person to ever do that.
Okay.
And, but to do that now, like everybody in town is, oh, we got to find the next this thing or that thing or whatever. And like, you have more shots at it, whereas you don't have shots at it building a car. Like there isn't, I don't know another car company or somebody out there that is trying to start a new car company on their own, specifically for how hard it is to even attempt.
Like, yeah. And if it sounds like a new car company, it's just under the umbrella of like Toyota, Ford. So it's like,
yeah,
right. Like Prius is Toyota or whatever. Exactly. Like,
I'm talking about a brand new car. Yeah, you'd have a better shot at making a hit movie out of nowhere or a book or something like that. Like, you do not have a shot on paper of making a car. Like, if anybody came into you and said, I'm going to make a fucking awesome brand new car for the world, be like, get the fuck out of here. That's too expensive. That's too much. I know Kanye is bitched about this in the past with the fashion industry, and he's right in that regard, where he's just like, I need somebody to give me $1 billion so I can create this fashion line, this fashion company. Cause you're trying to essentially make clothes for the world and or shoes for the world. And it is extremely expensive, where it's like, you know, you've seen it on Shark Tank with, who is it? Damon.
Yeah.
Who did FUBU. And it's just, you know, he always describes on that show how hard it is to start a fucking fashion company. Yeah.
Anytime someone comes in with fashion, he goes, I'm out. I know how hard it is. I know I'm the one that should be going in, but I'm out because I can't do it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And like, look, I have friends who have t-shirt companies. Just creating a t-shirt company is fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
That is amazing for the masses. And it consumes you and requires all your time. That's t-shirts. Imagine a whole fashion line for the world. Like, same with cars and space and all that other shit. Like, it requires so much money. I don't know where the next person is I don't know where the next Versace is. Like,
yeah,
I don't know who that is. Who the next Elon Musk is after this. Like, what a crazy fucking undertaking to do all of that shit and to consistently hear no all the time. It's amazing, man. So
yeah.
that element of it for sure was really fucking cool. And I was amped to see that whole thing go down and take place.
What about the guy?
The astronaut. He's coming back, James.
Okay. I just hope he's okay. That's all. That's the only thing I worry about.
I want you to 1-2 buckle your shoe. And,
that's the only thing I worry about is that poor guy.
Anxiously for for his landing, because we know you all need it.
Sisters.
I'm doing impossible. But you can go ahead and save the Gloria Allred documentary and just cross that off your list. That'll bring us to the revolutionary figure of the day. Rev Fig O the Day is, we're going to go with the original wardrobe malfunction. We're going to go with Janet Jackson on this one.
Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
That big, took a turn.
Big fan. Big
that
fan.
Went all the way. That went full circle.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I was a big fan of that weird star moon thing she had, that nipple piercing, like,
right.
Yeah, she did it. She's also one of the ones who can be 300 pounds and then 2 months later be 115 somehow.
Yeah,
when I saw how thin she was the other day, because she's on tour, I was shocked.
Yep.
But yeah, to the girl in the Olympic skating race, don't think you were something special, sweetie, because you weren't.
Basically, don't worry about
Janet,
it.
Janet, Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Yeah, you're good, girl.
Did this years ago. So you're fine that your whole clothes fell apart. I don't know how she finished.
That's
in
a
the
nightmare.
In the
nightmare.
The double skating, but we'll find out.
Boy, you just keep going. That's the test of a true athlete.
If you lost your entire dress, would you just go all nude? Would you just keep skating all nude?
If that was my sport,
yeah.
If I had been doing it my whole life to get to that point, yeah.
Yeah, you go nude, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You just keep going.
I like that. I like that a lot.
And that would be like, and if you don't win from doing that, then just be done.
Yeah.
Because...
My
That's
thing is
the
like,
test of a true Olympic athlete, I believe.
Let's say you're going for a triple axel, and that bare tit
let's
hits
be
the
real.
Ice.
Nothing was flopping around. These are ice skaters. Like, no, no. She might as well have been a boy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, look.
Is there a little something there?
Yeah, a little something there. But as a woman, let's say you tit hits the ice.
Oh, if you fall.
Is that, would that hurt?
What about the guy? Yeah, it would hurt. It would hurt, man. It would hurt. I don't know how it would happen. Like, I don't know how you would...
You fall tit down?
Yeah, I don't know how you would not be able to cover yourself enough that the boob actually went straight down onto the ice.
Tit down, yeah.
But if it did happen, yes, it would hurt.
I want you to know for you, I'm going to name this episode, What About the Guy? and if you could, light up, if go to Jesse Wiseman on Instagram and just hashtag it,
light me up,
just hashtag her. What about the guy?
I'm admitting it because I just feel like there's other people out there.
You could have gotten away with that. You could
for sure. Like I said, you just breezed over it, and I thought, did he hear me? Is that something that's like a normal question? Like I was confused by you just be like, no, it's a dummy. And just like moving on. What about the guy?
Hashtag what about the guy? Oh, this is so good. It's so good. I wouldn't have admitted it if I were you. I wouldn't have come back for that.
Well, I do it for the people because I wonder if there was anyone out there that for a split, when you were like wrapping your head around this. Sure.
It was a real life astronaut riding.
No, you're just
Tesla.
Like you know it's not right, but like you're just kind of like, what is happening?
Oh,
so
man.
Those kind of moments are things that I love. I love a cringe worthy. Like I can't believe that I even thought that for a second. You know what I mean?
Me
I like
neither.
That.
Me neither. What about the guy?
Makes me feel alive.
Go to Jesse Wiseman on Instagram and type in. Hashtag what about the guy and just let her know
on just all my pictures.
Just let her know how you feel about the world.
I
hope everybody had a great weekend. Thanks for tuning in. We got some fucking awesome shows this week. I'm super stoked about it. For Jesse Wiseman, aka What About the Guy, I am Ross Patterson. This is The Revolution. Good night, everyone.
Good night.